This morning we begin a new series. Every Thursday in chapel we will be focusing on one of the parables of our Lord. Today we begin with the parable of the prodigal son taken from Luke 15. Then Jesus said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I have heard it said, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What a perfect advertising slogan that is. What an invitation that is. To be free from any responsibility, to be free from any moral authority looking over your shoulder, to be free from anybody in your family or maybe your spouse glaring at you, to be free from any type of judgment bearing down on you. What a great slogan. What an appealing invitation. In this story, our Lord speaks of this younger boy who heads for the Vegas of his day. He desires to be free from his father's control. Isn't that the essence of sin for all of us, no matter what it is? We just want to be free, morally free from God's control. We want to have freedom to be our own master, to be in control of what we want to do. This parable, though certainly is intended to have value and meaning for everyone, this parable in particular is aimed at believers in the church. Those who've been tempted, who once they belonged to their father and have grown up in his house through faith, but have now been tempted to run away and become prodigal. If not externally, at least internally. You see, you don't have to physically leave town to find your own little Las Vegas. Have you arrived at a point in your life where you say to yourself, "I've decided to outwardly appear godly and with God, but inwardly I've chosen to cast my lot with the world"? How many prodigals stand and sit here today in this building, appearing to be living with God, and yet whose hearts are living in a foreign land, far away from their Heavenly Father? Now, there's a time in this young man's life in the story when his moral freedom away from his father seems to benefit him. And isn't that the case with our sin too? There's a time when it works. There's a time when it seems to give us something. There's a time when we seem to benefit from this freedom that we have. To become godless and to shake off any moral rules that might hamper us or hold us down, there's a time when we can say to ourselves, "This is living. This is living, and what freedom do I enjoy?" So this young man goes off and attempts to fill the void in his life with all of the worldly pleasures that our Lord lists off. But in the end, as is always the case with worldliness, he is left empty, he's finally alone, and he's penniless. Consider the sins that tempt you to leave home today from your father. And along with me, ask yourself, at what pig trough have I finally arrived? The son finally comes to his senses. He sees his condition, and he realizes that he'd like to go back home. And he recalls something good about his father, even though he doesn't expect to be taken back as a son. When you are in despair because of your guilt, and even when everybody else in the world might reject you and judge you and condemn you, do not be tempted to think of God, your Heavenly Father, as an accusing avenger who wouldn't take you back, or you're never going to want to go back home. If today you sit here with a sense of despair about your sin, if it's right in your face, if it's burning on your conscience, and you're burdened with that guilt, and you're imagining God could never take you back, then understand this. At that moment, you could not be a more perfect candidate for heaven. As a parish pastor, I've had the opportunity to help many families through difficulties with their children, with their youth, who have maybe wandered off in various ways and kind of squandered their young lives on wild living in a variety of different ways, abandoning God and the moral precepts that they were taught when they were children. And it just aggravates the parents to no end, and they go through such turmoil and pain because of it. But I've always noticed with Christian parents that they're always ready to bring them back. They're always ready to take them back home. Excuse me. Now, if a parent, a sinful Christian parent, can that have that kind of love and mercy and forgiveness toward their child, what does it say about the one, the perfect one in heaven who created that kind of love and that kind of forgiveness? How much more willing is he to take us back? I want to make sure everybody in here this morning hears this. There is no sin that you can do. There is no pig trough that is so far away from God that you could be at that he will not take you back because of what his son has done for you on the cross. Notice in our text, the father is patiently waiting and watching for his boy to return. We're told, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him. Even before the son gets to him, and even before the son can utter a single word from his lips, the father is already pouring out his heart toward this boy. Wherever you are in life, whatever path you've wandered down, understand this, your gracious Heavenly Father right now is watching for you. And he's just waiting for you to come back home. And he is poised to run out and meet you with his grace. And once your heart does turn back, even before you utter a word about it to him, he's already there with his mercy. There's no condemnation. There's no chastising. There are no threats. There is nothing but celebration. Today, through my sinful lips, the Lord of heaven and earth, your God, your Father, calls you to come home. Come and fall into his loving arms once again. He can't wait to celebrate with you. Amen. Please rise. I believe, help thou my unbelief. Amen.